Welcome to Missing Person. This is a work of fiction. I'm the author, R.A. Conti. The story begins in 1965 in a small Pennsylvania town. The missing person of the title is a middle-aged homemaker named Betty Suggs. Shocked by her cancer diagnosis, Betty abandons her home, husband, and teenage children. With $200 and no idea why she's running away, she takes a bus to Philadelphia. What happens to her there transforms her life. The story is read by Janice Tapp.
Chapter 2, War and Peace. 1945 should have been a good year. World War II ended and Jerry came back from the Army. They married in November and moved in with Betty's sister Anne and her husband Jack until they could afford a place of their own. Unfortunately, Jerry brought the war home with him. He had nightmares and daytime panic attacks. Jerry found and then lost several jobs because he couldn't concentrate on his work. He often was late because he had trouble sleeping. Betty found a job as a waitress, but only made enough money to give her sister Anne something for their room and board. They had nothing left to save for a place of their own. Betty hoped Jerry's post-war trauma would subside. The longer it lasted, the more distraught he became. He wanted to work and take care of her. They also wanted to start a family, just as their friends and neighbors who had survived the war were doing. Although they were newlyweds, they didn't have much sex. Jerry worried he might get Betty pregnant and was careful to use condoms when he could afford to buy them. They couldn't afford to have a baby yet. Betty eagerly gave herself to him whenever he wanted her, but worried because he sometimes cried after they made love. She didn't know why and didn't ask. Some things were better not to know. Although they had no money for amusements such as movies or trips, they found pleasure in each other's company. If it were not for the generosity of Anne and Jack, who shared their home and car, they would have had no enjoyment at all. Late in 1946, Jerry found a job in a new tire manufacturing plant that opened just outside of Johnsonville. The owner was eager to hire veterans, and Jerry got a job without having a resume or prior experience. He felt certain this was the big break he had been hoping for. He and Betty dedicated their effort to making the most of it. Jerry's anxiety subsided, and his nightmares became less frequent. He showed up on the job early most days because he had slept well and felt eager to work. The couple started saving money. Management promoted him twice in the first year, and he became a shift supervisor by the end of his second year at the plant. The couple felt secure enough to make a down payment on a house and start a family. Betty gave birth to Doris early in 1949. Jerry felt disappointed his firstborn was not a son, but her cuteness won him over, and he fell in love with Doris not long after she and Betty came home from the hospital. Betty had quit her waitressing job halfway through the pregnancy and hoped never to have to work again. As soon as she came home from the hospital, she set about making the best possible household environment for Jerry and the baby. Betty was an enthusiastic mother and wife. Jerry felt grateful for her attention to him and their infant daughter. Betty found the happiness that had been eluding her for the first few years of their marriage. Jerry fell in love with her all over again. Her fresh glow of motherhood enchanted him. He wanted to touch her, hold her, undress her, and look at her whenever they were alone. His attention delighted her, and she coquettishly encouraged his lust. He never seemed too tired to want sex, and she welcomed him regardless of how tired she was from her busy days as a housewife and new mother. Johnny came along almost exactly a year after Doris. Betty discovered that being the mother of one young child was almost idyllic compared to caring for two. She gave more attention and energy to the demands of her babies and had less to give to Jerry. He did his best to adjust. Jerry felt grateful for the excellent job she did taking care of his children and keeping a spotless home. He was productive at work and content at home, and their life was good. They settled into the contented bubble of home and job that characterized 1950s American middle-class life. World War II had disrupted everyone's lives. After it ended, people willingly settled into normalcy and routine and did their best to shut out the wider world. Jerry and Betty bought a TV and had friends over for cards. The family visited relatives on Sunday afternoons, and everyone slept securely in their row house bedrooms. The years went by. The quiet, stable 50s became the 60s. Doris and Johnny became teenagers. Betty and Jerry were approaching midlife. Nothing major happened to disturb their lives until Betty began to have pain she couldn't medicate with aspirin. She saw their family doctor, who sent her to a specialist. He ran some tests and found she had cancer. The cancer pains didn't affect Betty as much as the knowledge that she had cancer did. She became moody and had good and bad days. She also became aware of time, perhaps because her time was running out. Betty thought her cancer might somehow be her fault and wondered what she had done wrong. She never thought God might have given her cancer. She didn't think about God much. Betty and Jerry never discussed their religious beliefs, or lack of them. The children had received basic religious education in after-school and summer church-related activities, but didn't regularly attend services. Betty had never thought much about the future, either. She lived day to day and enjoyed the smallness of their lives. Betty liked how events or milestones happened when they were supposed to happen. Birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, vacations, and the start and end of the school year were the only occasions that concerned her. Unexpected events rarely happened, nor did she want them to. However, when the doctor said the word cancer for the first time, the enormity of life hit her, and its impact knocked her over. It was more than she could bear, and she wanted to run away from it. So she did.
Thanks for listening to Missing Person. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please move on to the next one.